we're actually only going to sing that first song, and then we'll just begin with the presentations. That second song will be a part of one of the presentations a little bit later. I ask that you stand, if you would. It's hard to sing about soldiers of Christ arise and be seated, so let's stand up, if you would. You can be seated after this song. Let's sing together.
Soldiers of Christ arise, and lift your banner on. Strong in the strength which our servant has. Strong in the strength which God supplies through His beloved Son. Strong in the Lord.
Good evening. My part is this evening is to bring to you the affairs of our finances. And before I get into that, I'd like to express appreciation to the congregation for your attitude. You've dealt with the elders, I guess, and your generosity in the giving and your trust in the elders as they use the money that you have contributed through the past year. So you've given a lot of money, and that you have entrusted the elders to spend it wisely, and we believe that we have. So the ways that we have spent the money for the church is through benevolence, edification, edifying, and preaching and teaching the word. So, as we look at the benevolence, we take care of our members or other Christians who have some need. Edifying, we use that area in teaching and providing teaching materials for the members here. We that includes a place to meet, you know, a building here. Where we come together to worship, and providing that building, there's a lot of expense in taking care of that. You know, we have a heat in the summer or heat in the winter, cool in the summer. We have a communication systems that hopefully helps you to hear better. That includes the PowerPoint, you know, our sound system, our websites. All this is used as we enter edification. In preaching, we support preachers, some preachers in full or partly. We support two preachers here at Lakeview, Lee Wildman and J.D. Copeland. We support five in the United States, Humberto Gonzalez in Aurora, Illinois, Michael Mahler in Iowa, Ken Shields in Alabama, Andres Pong in Indianapolis, and Gail Tolds in North Carolina. Overseas, we support Dan Kane in Sierra Leone, Jorge Trolley in Argentina, and T.T. Aplenty in South Africa. So, and as we get into that, as you can see on the slide, that on the middle one under budgeted, that is what we decided to determine to use as an expense in that category throughout the past year. The spent is what we actually spent on it. So we see that on benevolence, we went over a little bit. Under building expense, we went over quite a bit. Total edification, we were under quite a bit on that. Evangelism, we were under on that. And for the office and library, we went over on that. I'm assuming I'm pushing that right. So I want to go to the next slide, if you can advance it for me. Okay, I'm a little unused to this. Which button do you use? The middle one? The side one? Okay, that does work. So, under salaries, we went under just a little bit on that. That was, there was one preacher that we discontinued support for in April due to some various reasons. Got replacement in November for what we had paying him, and so the total utilities were a little bit more than what we expected. So, and in a year, we transferred from checking to savings $20,000, and I'll go into that just a little bit more. So overall, our total expenses out of the budgeted $329,000, our total expenses was $342. If we remove the transfer from checking to savings, that would leave us with $322,000. And the contribution over the past year was $360,000. So you all were quite generous, and that allowed us to do all that we planned on doing on that. So, okay, looking at our 2022 budget, as we look at benevolence, we've raised that a little bit. Building expenses raised a little bit. Edification is up some. Total evangelism, I think, was remained about the same. Office and library is about the same. So, thank you. Our salaries are a little bit more. And the utilities will be more. So our total expenses are increased. We project $352,265 in expenses. The contribution that we look at is $365,000, which will be about $12,735 more than what we are actually spending. However, as we go through the year, there are expenses that come up that sometimes we're not planning on. Did you get the slide in, Tom? Okay, thank you. One slide information that I'd like to bring, and then I'll be done. For 2021, our expenses toward evangelism are to spiritually oriented was about 74% of our expenses. The taking care of the building and the utilities and all was about 20%, and benevolence combined with the office and library was about 5%. So as we look at our financial situation now. As of this afternoon, there was $83,858 in checking account, $60,773 in a savings account. It's a total of $144,631. We have a savings account that we use for major expenses, such as replacing air conditioning units. Some of it will be go toward upgrading the video system here in the auditorium. And so we've set that aside for that. So we try to maintain in our checking account at least a 2 months supply of money for our budget, 2 months budget, which would be at least $60,000. So overall, we're doing, through your contribution, we're doing pretty well. So we appreciate, again, your generosity and your trust in us as the elders in using that money that you contribute to us. So thank you.
A couple of topics that I'll be covering, the security and safety that we begin with here, and also a little about the groups as we move forward with those. Just some things that I have here, you can see that it is a regular topic on our agenda. Almost every agenda that we, when we meet every other Monday, has something to do with security or safety or something along that line. And there are several different components to that. As you can see, the building and grounds, classroom, foyer, auditorium, and also emergency preparations. We'll take a look at some of the details that show up there. Going forward. There, okay. Under our the agenda topic, as I said, is under a regular consideration. Our purpose is to provide a safe, secure environment in which to worship and to teach. David White and myself are investigating and evaluating some of the security plans through his work. They have security meetings regularly to deal with different situations. And I've been in contact with our insurance company to take a look at plans that they have. So we're always looking for things to make sure that we're meeting our obligation and are most up to date with the ways in which we try to deal with these. And there we go. All right, under one of the topics there, components, is building and grounds. A lot there. The deacons take care of most all of this. Mentioned security patrols there. We don't have like regular security people, but if you've been here sometimes when the building is not occupied, you may notice sometimes we'll have a police car or two sitting in the parking lot. They're talking. If there's ever any issues or questions that we have, we notice that the patrols through here are become more often, and that's always good to have them aware. So they're kind of looking after the building, and we've been pretty lucky up to this point, if you want to put it that way, in that we've had very little issues that way. There's also maintenance and the structural integrity that has to be looked after. Snow and ice removal, of course. Our lighting, in both interior and exterior, plumbing and electrical, cleaning crew weekly. And again, we thank the deacons for all the work that they do. Another topic, the classrooms, foyer, and auditorium. In the teaching program, most of you have been through this, but some of you have not. There are some new teachers here. The reason that we have two teachers to a classroom is part of what our insurance company had encouraged and that we had built in under this what's called reducing the risk program. If you have not seen that video and been able to, as a teacher, seen that video and answered some questions, we just had a little presentation. We'll be getting in touch with you. You can also get in touch with me, and we'll try to make sure that we have an opportunity to go through that. We may have a time here at the building where we show that video again and give people an opportunity to kind of go through that and see why we have the two-teacher program to help protect the students and the teachers. We have the cameras that we've been adding to kind of monitor the area, both inside and outside, and the deacons and ushers are very aware of their surroundings. So if your child goes out to the bathroom or something, or somebody is unattended that way, we want to make sure that we kind of look and make sure everything is safe, good conditions there that there's no problem with. Also, parents, you're kind of the first line of defense. You should be aware of where your children are and make sure that they're in a good, safe place. Classrooms are not really a good place to play when they're not being occupied. If we're not having class, it's not a good idea for the kids to be playing in there. Not only can it upset maybe some things the teacher has prepared, but it's also an unsupervised area. We don't have cameras looking in the classrooms or anything. So just be prepared. There was an incident last week I read of somewhere here that where there was an issue in a church building, and that was very unfortunate. We want to make sure that nothing like that can happen. We always think it can happen here, but it can't. So we want to make sure we keep our kids safe. And also, I was the worst at this when I was little. I didn't walk anywhere. I always ran. And that's not a good idea. So kids, if you can, try to remember there's old people out there, and we can fall over and break a hip or something, so we don't want anything to move like that. So be careful and be conscious and aware of us so that we don't get hurt. All right, next one. Emergency situation, several of them. Fire. That's something we don't have like we did in schools, fire drills and so forth. Just be aware of the exits. If there were an emergency and we need to get out, remember there are outside exits here and here. One of the first things you want to do is evacuate safely. We have all the alarms, sprinklers, extinguishers. They get checked regularly. And be sure once you're outside, also it would be good for parents to have a plan to meet somewhere away from the building. But to plan to meet, tell your children, okay, if for some reason we have to evacuate the building, here's where I want you to meet us. And that way you can make sure that everybody got out safely. So that's a good plan, something you might think about. Okay, and the next one. A tornado coming up again in a few months. We monitor the weather conditions regularly, try to keep an eye on, you know, what is approaching. And what the conditions are. Shelter areas are in the middle of this building, in the classrooms that do not have windows, and the restroom areas. So the restrooms and the classrooms off the auditorium, just the side of the restrooms. But stay away from the glass. Stay away from large unsupported roofs like the auditorium. Not a good place to be. In the tornado, those are kind of dangerous areas. So we do have structured shelters in place back off the area there in the foyer. So those are good places to go in that. Also, medical emergencies. We do have a defib machine. We have first aid kit that's kept up to date. We have several different medical personnel here, and some of that has changed. That's something I will want to do, is to get together with some of those medical people and begin to make sure we have a plan in place. If we have a medical emergency, who's going to do what, who calls 911. We don't need eight people, you know, on cell phones deciding to dial 911. We'd have a designated person that's aware of the situation would be doing things like that. So We'll be updating that, and I'll get with some people there to make sure that plan's in place. Disruptive intrusions. As I investigated this, we had several people with questions about doing different things. One of the things that was nice to hear was everything I looked at said churches are some of the safest places you could be. There aren't too many situations that way. Training and awareness is very important. The greeters, the ushers, the cameras are all part of that. And there are different programs out there. I've been in contact with our insurance company. They've sent me some information about that. One of the things that I was kind of surprised because we're looking at some people have talked about, well, can we lock the doors? You know, well, the problem with that is, sure, we can lock the doors and put crash bars on them. The problem is, as we investigated that, I haven't found a single case of where the intruder was known before they got inside and seated. You know, you have visitors, they come in, the problem occurs after they're already in. The doors are locked, but it's kind of a false sense of security. It wouldn't have prevented any of the situations that have occurred that they've seen so far. So that's one of the reasons that we have kind of moved in that direction. But we are looking at the training. One of the things they pointed out was if you have a team in place that's supposed to react to a violent situation, they are also liable for any kind of collateral damage that may be done. And so it's going to take some special kind of training on what to do and how to react to those. And we have some people in place, and we're talking to some of them and kind of updating the program that we have so far. One of the things that they do say, all of them say, is if there is kind of a violent situation, the first thing to do is to run. If you can get out, kind of like a fire, if you can get out, that's the best. They haven't found any violent intruders that actually follow people outside to do anything. So you can run, hide, and fight, kind of in that order is sort of the sequence. All right, the next one. In addition, talking about the small groups, the real purpose, we look back through this, the real purposes of having our small groups is have devotion, get to know one another better, and for service. For the elders and members to get to know one another better in a smaller, more intimate situation. Members and non-members getting to know one another. We have a lot of people that come as visitors. We want to include them and invite them to these. And it's easier to get to know when you're in a group of, say, 20 instead of 200. Opportunities for real fellowship outside the building to serve our members in need, to know those and be able to meet their needs, and to make service to the community. That's been a great one. We've been able to do several things, and I appreciate the people that have been involved with setting those up. In our devotion and discussion, small groups, it's amazing. I know in our last small group meeting, what grew out of our devotion was a real understanding of sometimes the people and then people's comfort levels and how we can best meet their needs in these group situations. As we move forward, we're going to be reorganizing the groups in June. Reorganized them back in June of 21, and we were going to leave them for about a year. So this coming June will be the reorganization. Some questions we have that you can help share with us. We were looking at, do we continue with 8 kind of smaller groups, probably most meeting in the 15 to 25 or so range, or have fewer groups that are larger in size? So we're kind of kicking that around. We found out there are some people that are much more comfortable actually in larger groups. Some are more comfortable in smaller groups. Considering the safety and venue options, if we go to larger groups, where are we going to have those meetings? You know, what venues are available? What would encourage the greatest participation? You can share your personal feelings. I know we're going to get both sides, but it's good to know, you know, how we can best meet that, and also how we can best share our service opportunities. So any of these topics that you have would like to have input on and share things with us, we encourage you to do that. Thank
you. Our next section is our daily Bible reading. So before we get into that, I'll read you some verses from the scriptures about the scriptures. He's probably pretty familiar to you. Romans 15:4. for whatever things were written from before were written for our learning, that we, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Colossians 3:16 is one we use a lot about our singing, but it also says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with the grace in your hearts to the Lord." So let that word of God dwell in you. And finally, 1 Peter 2:2. So we'll start in verse 1. "Therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So, benefits of reading God's word. You can see the slide behind me there. It's this need to be in the word daily. It's a need to do more congregational activities. A need to do more study as families in our homes. And a need to spend more time talking with one another about the word. So these are some of the benefits of just reading God's word. Certainly, in our schedule, certainly encourage all kinds of Bible readings. Get ready for your classes. Maybe you've got other studies going on. But here's a schedule that the elders have put out for several years of going through the Bible and sections and having a schedule of reading. So this year's reading will start in Genesis and will end in Ruth. So starting at the beginning of the Bible. You know, these are some of my favorite books in the Bible, especially Genesis. It's an easy read. It's a good family read that you can talk about really well with your children. So it's a really good place to start this year. And I know sometimes we start off really well, and as the year tapers off, maybe we don't read as much as we should, or things pop up, or our schedule gets modified. But I just encourage us all to stay on schedule. And you know, there's all kinds of ways you can read. You can open up your Bibles. You know, read from your phones and play them on your car. You can, "Hey Siri, you know, read me Genesis 1. There's just all types of ways you can keep up with your Bible readings. All right, so you can see on the schedule there, again, like I said, some good stories. We start off even this week with creation, fall of man, Cain and Abel story. Next week we'll read about Noah and the ark, and the flood. We'll move on through Genesis throughout this month, and in the next month we'll hear about Abraham, the covenant God made with him. Hear about Isaac, Abraham being tested, Jacob and Esau, and the sons of Jacob wound up with Joseph in Egypt, and the time he has there in Egypt, and how he saves the people through God's help. So Genesis will take us through mid-March, basically. And then we'll go into Exodus. And, you know, a lot of those stories we just did in VBS last year will be read, so it's a good chance for you to touch base with your kids about what they did last year in VBS as they're reading these stories, you know, the plagues, the Exodus in 40 years. And we'll go into Leviticus and Numbers, and you know, the stories there, the 12 spies, Balaam, Balak, and the donkey. I just encourage you to look for Jesus in those stories. Sometimes you get in those books and it doesn't seem as interesting, the stories aren't as good as what there was in Genesis, but just look for Jesus and how you can find Jesus in all these, on all God's word. And then we'll get into Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges, and get the second giving of the law. You get Joshua conquering the land, and you get that cycle with the judges, people rebelling and being brought back to God. And then we'll see there, and as we begin next year, 2023, we'll begin with Ruth. So a lot of good reading for us. Of course, all of God's word is good for reading. I think there are some handouts. Keith, are you going to hand those out? Already hand them out, all right? And we'll try to get those on the website here in the next few days. So if you didn't get a handout here, we'll get those on the website. But if you don't have one, just remember, through January, you start in Genesis, 5 chapters a week. Thank you.
Right. I'm to go through with your special events on that. I'd like to ask you to think about this as we go through them, because have an opportunity to contribute more than just what you're doing right now, sitting and listening to us or listening to the word being preached. All very fine things to do, but with some of these special events, you can get more involved, and we want each and every one of us to get involved as much as you possibly can on that. There's our spring meeting, BBS, prayer booth, our fall gospel meeting, prayer in the park, WHUM radio, postcards, and we have the Tuesday Zoom Bible study and the Thursday Starbook Bible. I'll go through each of those. And there we go. All right, spring gospel meeting. As you've seen in our news and notes, we've just put a one-liner in there. Alan Yater will be the guest speaker. He's from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's Case and Lane Church of Christ is where he's at right now. And that'll be beginning April the 10th. It'll run through the 13th. It's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday thing. There'll be three classes or three lessons on Sunday, and then one each night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. We want these to be timely and relevant lessons, and we're discussing with him right now the details of what those lessons will be and how they will apply not only to our daily lives, but how they will help support the 2022 theme on that. And I would encourage you to go to the CaseandLaneChurch.org. There'll be sermons there. You might want to listen to a couple of them, get to know him a little bit before we get here. It would be good that you would see what kind of preaching he does, and we think it's going to be exciting to have. Okay, Vacation Bible School, always a big event. Last year we had a superior rebirth of that. Steve and Jerry will both, again this year, take on that task to do that. They've already got ideas and thoughts going in it. They would appreciate any input that you may have. It too will tie in with our theme for this year, the 2022 overall theme on that. That'll come as a little bit of a surprise too, so stay tuned for that. No, don't get giddy, you know, where you can't sleep at night thinking about it, but it's going to be a good time. We would like, though, to set a goal to surpass what we did last year, which will be hard to do. We had great participation. We made the C part. I mean, once you do that, you know, it's downhill from there. But starting early, we want to get a good jump on it and make the workload easier. Please volunteer and get involved. Prayer booth, yes, I use that term again, prayer booth. We're leaving our options open for the prayer booth. And we call it prayer booth because it happens when the fair is in town. And that's scheduled from the 24th through the July the 2nd. We're looking for suggestions on what we can do, how we can do, how we can be involved. There's a great gathering of people out there. Some you can't unsee, but it's good that we would maybe make a presence and be there. Your suggestions would be welcome. In our fall gospel meeting, Kenny Chumley is the guest speaker. He's currently at Gibson City, Illinois, Gibson City Church of Christ. This will be the 18th of September through the 21st. There'll be six lessons, like the spring meeting, three on Sunday, one on Monday, one Tuesday, and one Wednesday, Lord willing. Again, relevant to our overall 2022 theme. And again, you can look him out at GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com on that, and you can hear some of his lessons on that. All right, prayer in the park. We had the prayer out at the park. We think that was a very encouraging meeting out there. We want to do some more of that, perhaps multiple events. It's a good opportunity to evangelize in the community. Get out, people say, who is that? Ask questions about us. We will consider some different venues besides the one place that we were at. Maybe Donner, maybe another place on there, but all helping us be a little more of a presence in the community, if you would. And we may make that possibly part of our small groups in a way where we can have some smaller one evening studies on that second Sunday of the month as we continue to do that. So again, ideas and thoughts would be greatly appreciated. Don't hesitate to bring them up. Okay. Radio opportunities, WHUM. Also, voice commercials that we have. We have them on at least two radio venues. We've got into the countryside a little bit with some of the commercials. We also have commercials that are on it. These are voice commercials that we have. They're pretty compelling. If you haven't heard them, we can get you copies of them, listen to them. Maybe you got some ideas, a way to even... we are considering, too, it's been suggested, that we're not sure how far, is a live call-in Bible question and answer, you know, get some good things going there. Anyway, postcards and business cards. We have made postcards and business cards, and those, most of you have seen them. Hopefully everybody has seen them. We want to encourage you to use those. They've got the RF reader code on them, and they can answer some Bible questions for people, that invite people with them, with business card and so forth. Just a couple things. We ask that you act upon that opportunity and look for opportunities in grocery stores and in pharmacy drive-thrus and wherever, or you can drop these cards or drop these postcards and tell people, you know, hey, we'd like to see you at church if you get a chance. Come on out. We're Lakeview Church of Christ. Follow up with them then. You know, hey, did you get that card? I meant to put that in there. Hadn't heard from me, you know, without scaring them, of course. We don't want to make them think we're stalking them. But in any case... and then gain support with people here. You know, hey, I've got Sally is coming to visit, and so anyway, we can use those cards to the best of our ability. Okay, Tuesday Zoom Bible study. This is the Churchill study. They are currently not meeting in their home because of the COVID thing, but there is a open forum that you can join on a Zoom call. It's led by Gary Fisher, 7 o'clock. It's been pretty much ongoing throughout the year on that, and plan to continue that. But if you've got any questions, see Dixon or David Green on how you can get signed up for that. And then lastly, there's a Starbucks Bible study that JD has kicked off. It is at the Starbucks in Kroger, and it's on Thursdays at 6:15, and it's planned to be a continuous thing for, continuous. It goes a long time on it. But if you got any questions or would like to help support that, as you can, then contact JD with that. There's other opportunities that are developed by individuals and whatever throughout the year. Different people will have studies and so forth that will gather small groups. We encourage that. Tremendous way to help share the gospel with not only our brothers and sisters that we go to church with, but also within the community. With that, then Bruce is on with the theme for 2002.
I'll just start off by saying that wasn't last year's theme great? I think it was one of the most exciting years that we've had here at Lakeview with the theme of being lights for Jesus. We thank Lee and JD for all the work that they did on those lessons and that great sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached and our being lights for Jesus. They've challenged me, and I hope they have you too. Hopefully, we will be more zealous in our Christian walk, seeking to have Jesus' character as our own. We want to be lights and influence so that people of the world can see that Christ lives in us and that we're people after God's own heart. We need to get excited about these themes every year. Hopefully, there will be an increase in God's kingdom as a result of our living as lights for Jesus. And as we go into this new year and into the future, we want to introduce our new theme. Hopefully, though, from last year, if we saw areas in our own lives that need to be changed, we need to be more determined to take measures to improve in God's service for Him. So let's take advantage of all those. Let's go back and review the notes that we've taken during those lessons and during the sermons that they preached. And let us make changes in our own lives that need to be made. The only happiness, as Lee preached last week, the only happiness can come from being resolute in our aim to be more like Jesus. And that has to do with the resolutions for a new year that J.D. preached to us about. So let's put to practice what we've learned from these studies that they've brought to us. Well, as the elders began to think about a theme for 2022, back in October, I believe, we started talking about this. We wanted to try to come up with a theme that would complement last year's theme. So let me ask you a question as we went through the year. Did any of you think about Gideon and the 300 soldiers that God had given him to fight against the Midianites and the Amalekites in Judges chapter 7? I know I didn't until I got to thinking more and more about it. And I thought I would just say a few things about that to introduce our new theme this year. If you remember, the enemy was numerous as locusts. And they were going to fight the Midianites and the Amalekites, and they're just as thick as ants, you know. No certain number, but just huge numbers of soldiers. And so the enemy was so numerous that Gideon probably thought, I'm going to need a lot of soldiers to fight against these Amalekites and these Midianites. But God saw only 300 men that he wanted to give to Gideon to fight against them. So with 300 men, they surrounded their camp. And remember, they blew their trumpets and they smashed their clay pitchers. And all these multitudes of thousands of soldiers are wondering, and they're surrounded the camp, and they're wondering, boy, there must be a lot of soldiers out there. We've got to get ready. And so they held in one hand their torches, their lights for the Lord, and they blew their trumpets with the other. At that moment, the enemy became each other's enemy, and they killed each other. Those soldiers of the Lord with their lights. Which one of these do I push? Did it come up? Soldiers of the Lord with their lights. And so that's a theme that we thought would complement being lights in the world, being soldiers for the Lord. And so they scattered around the enemy and made God the hero of another victory over evil. God is the hero in every story of the Bible. As we begin this new year, we want to encourage each one of us to be soldiers for Christ, as our lights continue to shine for the Lord and to the lost. Soldiers of Christ, that's our theme for 2022. And so with the help of J.D. and Lee, an outline of headings and topics and dates of when and what they're going to be preaching and teaching on this year to help us grow in the Lord's work here. We won't be able to really digest these because it takes three scenes here to show the whole outline, but please don't hold them rigidly in these dates and everything, because as we know, situations can change and things can come up to where we need to teach on something else that's necessary. So we may have to veer off the schedule like we did last year a couple of times or a few times, but it'll only be momentarily. So we've got this schedule, and we'll either print out some of these for everyone, or we'll have this posted in the back on the bulletin board, I'm sure. So also note at the bottom, I don't think it's even on the last screen, Tom. But at the bottom of the outline, one lesson a month will be devoted to evangelism, tied in with our theme. So each month, even though we're teaching on being soldiers of Christ and all these different categories and in this outline, there will be one time a month that we devote to evangelism that will be tied in with our theme. And so we will post, like I said, a copy of this schedule in the back. And if you'd like a copy, we can also do that. The elders want us to be excited about what each of us can accomplish as soldiers for the Lord this year. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 3 through 5, Paul, in writing to Timothy, said, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." And even though Paul and Timothy were both ministers, I believe this would apply to all Christians, would it not? Because we're all in this battle. We're all in the war against the world, worldliness, and against Satan and his angels. Remember, we're stewards and protectors of God's holy word, just like Israel was of the Old Testament. They were the guardians and protectors of God's word. A good soldier stands for the right and is faithful to their leader, fighting under the banner of Jesus, the captain of our salvation, Hebrews 2 and verse 10. We fight for his cause, against his enemies. We fight a spiritual battle, looking to more than conquerors, looking to be more than conquerors through him who loved us and died for us, Romans 8 and verse 37. In verse 4 there, as good soldiers, we must keep ourselves from being entangled in the affairs of the troubles of this world. Anything that would deter us from our guard post, but let us stand on our guard post. We are stationed on the rampart, Habakkuk 2 and verse 1, watching circumspectly for the enemies of the cross, always giving an answer for the hope that we have, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. And then lastly, verse 5. We as soldiers for Christ must fight according to God's rules. It's his words that we must go by. Verse 5. If a man strive, this is the King James Version, I love this. If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. As if we were Joshua himself, we just read this morning and studied in J.D.'s class, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. God said to Joshua, "Put ourselves in this spot. No man will be able to stand before you all of your life. And just as I have been with my servants before you, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous as soldiers for the Lord. Be careful to do according to my word that you may have success as you go." We're not in a carnal fight, but soldiers of God's words, his rules of spiritual warfare. It's the way Jesus fought his fight for you and I. And is it not the love of God that constrains us? Yes, it's our loving response to the love of God that we be soldiers of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. And that word constraineth is in the King James also. Okay, so I challenge you, and I challenge myself. Get ready. Are we ready for battle? Are you a soldier of the cross? Let us put on the whole armor that God has given us. Let us arise and build a united front. Marching onward, Christian soldiers. Let's stand. Let's carry the banner of the cross and sing this song with me. The first verse. One verse, please. Let's stand. The battle of the cross. The banner. There's a royal banner given for
a slave to the soldiers of God's King. As an ensign prayer we lift it up today, while the ransom warrant we sing. Marching on, marching on, for Christ gets everything for all. King of kings, loyal and sin, in the banner of the cross.
Please be seated. Well, thank you, and may God bless all of our efforts for him. for being soldiers of the cross, soldiers of Christ this year. So let's think about this theme and what we can do to be soldiers for the Lord, carrying the banner of the cross.
What I want to do is just to extend an invitation. Bruce just did a good job extending an invitation for us. But, you know, we always like to give people an opportunity to become Christians, to fall in line with what Jesus would like for us to do. And so, in the same way, we want to think about our relationship with God and how it is that we're trying to serve Him. You know, we sing a song. It says that the battle belongs to the Lord. That's a good song for us. It's a good song to help us to think about, as Bruce pointed out, that the hero in the Bible is Jesus Christ. Is God the Father, is the Holy Spirit. These are the real heroes that we see in the Bible. We're given a little part to play in that sometimes. When we look back through the Old Testament, we see many battles that were fought. We see God's people, sometimes in very dire circumstances. Bruce brought up the one with the Midianites coming, and it looked like it was going to be pretty bad for them, this whole army of people. We look in the book of 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel, and we find a similar situation when the Philistines were coming up. And it says that they came up and they were just like the sand that was on the seashore. Can you imagine looking out over a field and all you saw were the heads of soldiers out there and, you know, extending up into the mountains and all around, all you could see were the soldiers that were coming against you. And it said in Samuel there that they had 30,000 chariots in their army. They had 6,000 horsemen in this army of the Philistines that came up against the Israelites. So it looked pretty dire. If we were just looking at it from man's standpoint, we would say this is not going to turn out good. But as Darren talked about this morning, if we've got one man and God, that makes a lot of difference in how things turn out. On that occasion, it turned out well for God's people. Let's look at another a little bit later in 2 Samuel chapter 17, a very familiar story to all of us, and that is the story of the Philistines again when they came and they were taunting God's people. They had their champion there and he was coming out every day and taunting the people of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 41, it says, "And the Philistine came on and approached David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and he saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you have come out to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine also said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh for the birds of the sky and for the beasts of the field.' As then David said to the Philistines, 'You came to me with sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts,
and in the God of the army of Israel, who you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hand, and I will strike you down, and I will remove your head from you, and I will give the bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all of the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword and by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. David had a small part in that, but the battle was the Lord's. The passage that Bruce brought out to us in 1 Timothy tells us that we need to be good soldiers as well. And in verse 4, it says that we need to do all we can to please the one that has enlisted us to be that soldier. And so our goal for every one of us is to be the soldiers of Christ, to not be overcome by the distractions of this world and the seeming hard path that we have to go. The enemy may be tumultuous to look at. It may be hard to think, how can we make inroads into any kind of victory when we look at the world that's about us. And yet, if we allow God to lead our battles for us, then he can help us in whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Hopefully through the years, the men that are preaching will talk about some of the great battles of the Old Testament. And they'll talk about how that the Lord was the one that had the battle, where the armies of the enemy were drowned in the sea, or where the chariots of the enemy were stuck in the mud, or where the armies were turned against themselves as with Gideon and fought themselves in the darkness and the fright of the battle that they thought they were in. Or how that God used hailstones or hornets to go before the army of Israel to discomfit the army that was before them. How that God made the walls of cities fall down, the sun in the sky to stand still. The battle is the Lord's. You know, I want to be on the side of that commander. And I think all of us do. We want to be on God's side. And so my invitation to you is, if you're not a Christian yet, then there's not any better time than right now to kind of enlist, to be a part of God's family, to be a part of that army, to be a part of those that are going to fight the battles that are before us, to encourage one another, to stand up beside of one another, to have a united front against the Satan and the enemy that is there. So if you want to come to Jesus and be baptized so that your sins can be washed away and so that you can start in your service to God, there's no better time than right now. Together we stand and sing. Please come.
Am I a soldier on the cross, a follower of the dead? And shall I fear to fall in must I be carried to the stars on Calvary's bed of ease, while
Everybody listening, and those who are here in person, and some that are maybe not able to be here. Certainly, we want to continue to remember the things that we talked about tonight about being soldiers. Hope you'll think about that, pray about that over the next through this next week as we again embark in an opportunity that can go a lot of different directions in lessons and study and teaching, and we'll be doing that this year, as was identified in kind of that outline. Just going to make another quick remark. Steve talked about this scripture reading. So just in our closing announcements, remember that our scripture reading this week is Genesis 1 through 5. You have to go along with an assignment at least in one of the classes. I don't have any new things on sick other than I heard that Craig Hodges was not feeling well. And again, some of the family had been sick with COVID previous, and so don't know for sure if that's the case, but we keep Craig, add Craig to your prayers as well. Just a couple of others, just to repeat, certainly remember Kendra, in her battle with the COVID, but also her pregnancy and the baby being due now. She was very anxious over those two things happening at the same time. So keep her in your prayers, her and Brian. Keep little Jaden in your prayers as he goes back and has some more, again, another blood draw. Pray diligently that we'll see improvements again to pull his numbers back up. With those things, I think that's all that I had. Men, were there anything else that we need to make mention of? If not, I'd ask that you stand with me. Quiet. Okay. On Wednesday. All right. So Mike's going to be going to Sierra Leone. We've not talked a lot about that, and I knew the last our meeting we weren't real sure if he was going to be able to go due to the some of the difficulties as far as COVID and things. So it sounds like he is going, and definitely we want to pray. Yeah, because if he goes and he gets it there, then he may not be able to come back. So anyway, that's Wednesday, did you say, Mike? Okay, so let's pray for Mike. Pray for his safety, but most of all, pray for his opportunity to go there and be with Dan and Sean and to be able to help spread the gospel there and encourage those brethren that are there. Mike? Lord's Supper. Yes, thank you. Lord's Supper is still prepared in the back. If there be any, we'll give you an opportunity to leave at this time. Partake of that. Thank you, Mike. I not wrote that down. I was going to skip right past it. So. I don't see anyone exiting. Let's go ahead and stand, and we'll be led in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you this evening, God, as an assembled group of your people. God, we pray for this church. We pray for wisdom, that we might all grow this year, and from your word, that we might dwell within it richly, and that it might dwell within our hearts. God, help us to desire to be in your word every day. Help us to grow. Help us, God, to be ready and willing to teach your word to others. And we pray for every member of this congregation that they might grow spiritually in this year. God, help us to be there to encourage one another, to lift one another up. God, we pray for evangelism in the community outside the walls of our spiritual family here. We pray for opportunities to in this community that we might be able to invite and to teach others. And God, we pray that you'll lead us to those souls who are searching diligently to learn more about you. Here in Columbus and in our homes, near our homes, Father, in this community, we pray that through some of the special events that we have, that we might again be able to reach out and to touch others and to bring them to you. God, we pray for the men who work with us here. We pray for JD and Lee and their families. God, we help them to be diligent in their studies and in their teaching for us, God, to encourage and edify us. but also, God, to teach those in this community as well. We pray for many efforts that are going on related to those things. God, help us to continue to grow and spread the gospel in other countries and other places. When we just mentioned some of the men that we support in other countries. And God, we do especially pray that you be with Mike, that he's able to go to Sierra Leone. And he's benefited much, and they've benefited much from his presence there. We pray that he'll have a safe trip there and back. Please, please, God, keep him safe in those travels. Keep him healthy. And God, may much good be done through his efforts there. Help us to be soldiers, God. Help us to be soldiers for you and for Jesus. Help us to be more like our master. Help us to be in the world, but not of the world, God. May we be seen as different. May we be seen more like your son, Jesus. Help us to fight the battles and to be able to defeat Satan. God, we know we may not win in every situation, but God, we pray that in the end we'll be victorious. And God, that we'll be found faithful in your sight. And we know we can only do that if we're obedient to your will. God, we've mentioned many who are sick physically, but we also pray for the spiritually, those who are weak and suffering of this congregation. We know there are many there too. Help us to reach out for them. Help us to reach out to those who have been unable to be out, God. Help us to encourage them as well. God, we know you love us and we love you, Father. We pray that we'll be diligent in our work and our service as we start this new year. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for bringing us through the difficulties of this past year of many trials that we've had. God, help us to teach us to love one another more, that we might be more unified, more stronger and more strengthened in your word. God, we love you and we thank you for the great gift we have in Jesus, your Son, who died for our sins. In his name we pray.